fun to have it either.
You started pop picking before the fair.
Yep, before the fair, old boy.
How were the hops? How'd they look before they were picked?
Oh, they came out. Oh, let me tell you. Some of them would be maybe 2 inches long. Some of them, some good hops, would be pretty near as big as around a hen's egg, wouldn't they? Yeah, some of the good ones that Pa used to raise.
When picking comes, they're all hops.
Yeah, they're all hops. Your vines is pretty near all hops that comes out. See, same as a tree with the leaves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're all them big yellow hops hanging down.
The hops are the shape of an egg?
Well, no, they're longer. They're longer. They'd be, oh, I don't know what I could tell you. They're either long as a banana, that's sure, but they're long. See, they come out long. Bigger to the butt a little, and they run down more peaked there,
uh-huh.
See. And they're supposed to be nice and yellow, kind of a yellowish cast, see.
What are they like when you open them up?
Well, they're full of them little seeds and stuff, you know, that gathers in there. And them is green, and they take them out of the, and put them in bags, see, and take them down. Then they put them up on a mat, up in the hop kiln, on a mat. And then you fire in 100 to dry them. They have to be dried, see, before you can push them off into another part in your part for you after they're dried.
How many people would pick hops?
Oh my God, we've had, oh, all the ravioles and all them stuff when you used to pick. Maybe 50 people in there, eh? Yeah, picking hops.
I didn't care much about
it. Did they come from all around?
Yeah, all around, your neighbors, see if you could get them. No, I guess they ain't many hop yards.
Did you put the hops into boxes the first thing?
Yeah, pick into the boxes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of boxes were they?
Oh, made out of wood, out of wood. And you cut two crotchet sticks or make them, lay them right over across to your box, and some stand on each side picking. And then the kids or somebody would have a basket, they'd pick in the basket, you know,
uh-huh.
Outside.
So some picked in hops in hop boxes and some picked in the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four could get around the box good to pick in the box.
How much would they get? How would they be paid? By the box or by the hour?
By the box.
How much per box?
Well, it was $1 a box for a while, and I guess they got up to about $1.25. Yeah.
So if there were three or four people picking into one box, how would they pay them?
Well, it'd be all in the same family, see. Like me there was, you know, Stella and I and William, three of us. They'd give the ticket to me or Stella, whoever, you know, all in the same family. Yeah.
Did your father pass out tickets?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they'd get tickets.
Huh.
Yeah.
What did the tickets say?
Well, I don't know. It'd be so much a box, see? Yeah, so much a box.
When they got your name written on them?
Yeah, Pa's name would be on them. And when they got all done picking, they'd come to the house to get their pay. Pa got the money and Malone get the money, you know, bank from the bank, pay them off as they'd come in. They'd put their tickets down, count out their tickets, and he'd pay them in money.
Did you give them a ticket for every box?
Yeah.
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 How long would it take to fill one box?
Oh, a long time.
Well, one picker, you'd have to pick from there all day, wouldn't you tell, for just one?
I would, I know that.
Yeah. Good-sized boxes.
Did you wear gloves to pick?
Well, the women did, I guess, yeah.
Were there hop lice?
Yeah, there'd be some. We'd try to keep them off all you could, see? But there would be some lice on the poles, on the vines, yeah.
Did they bite?
No, they seemed to, did they? No. Just crawl on you, you know, make it irritated, yeah.
Were the hops prickly, like a rose bush?
No.
You can pick them on off nice. God, they were nice. Some of them be round as that. About that long.
About some, 3 inches long.
Well, some of them damn near it, yes, yeah. Sir. 2 to 3 inches long hops, padres. God, he had the beautiful as hops there was on that road.
Did the hops like the rainy weather or sunny weather?
Well, middle in there. They needed rain. They needed rain too. But you get too much rain, it'd make that lice and kind of a mold would come on them, see? Together. Yeah. Mostly good weather for them.
Did they like cold weather?
Well, you could stand. Yeah, you could stand. Yeah.
What was the hop kiln like?
Well, there's a big kiln there, what you'd have a big stove, you know, a big stove like what we got over there now. I got a hop kiln stove in the barn. Big long stove would take, about 3 foot wood. And you had a platform come out there where you'd pile your wood in under that platform where you had a door to go into your stove, and you'd take your wood in there and put it in your big stove, and then up overhead they had a big scareful there, you know, kind of over with slats and covered over with a matting where the heat would go right up through. And you put your hops on there, 4 to 5 inches thick. And then that heat had to go up through them, see? Uh-huh. You'd fire that down there. And if your hops needed, we had poles there, in the hunder there, down in the hunder there, where the stove was, up in pans where you'd put sulfur in, see? This sulfur. To give your hops a coat, I imagine, of that steam of that sulfur to bring them out more joist yellow, kind of a cast, something like that lamp up there. Yeah.
What did the heat do to the hops? What was it for?
The heat?
Yeah.
Or dry them. See, they drop. You put them in the kiln, you know, and not get them dry. They drop. Yeah, just same as potatoes. You put potatoes in a certain time of year and they'll rot if they ain't dry. You got to get them good and dry or they'll rot on you. Hops would go on the same plan as potatoes put in there. Yeah.
How long would it take them to dry?
Well, sometimes 3 hours. With good fire is going to dry them hops. Pa and Ma would have set up all night. To get caught up, right? The pickers would pick so fast you couldn't get them dried enough, see, to keep them out. Have to sit up all night building fires and drying them hops. Huh. Yeah.
You never built a fire, an open fire, it was always a stove fire.
No. All what we'd ever do is when you got too many coals in your stove, you know, so you couldn't get enough wood in, take the coals out. And we had dirt floor in the hop kiln. Throw the coals right up the side of the stove, see? And they'd give some heat, see? Take them right out and throw them there till they died down, right side of the stove. Yeah?
Did you have chimneys in the hop kiln to take the smoke away?
Yeah, chimney right up, good chimney. You had to have. Yeah.
Was it smoky inside?
No smoke. And you know, to get that heat, there were stovepipes, but they were big, see? They were big, maybe, I don't know how big you could get them, but they were big stovepipes. And they come up from your stove, they went up so far, then they went right around in a square, see? Right around your mat, they went right around. The whole heat had to go right around to go up through there, see? You had to have them pipe right around under your mat. Yeah. Well, by gee, there was a lot to it, boy. A damn lot to it. Yeah.
What were the hops put in after they were dried?
Oh, there's where the fun come in. Where we had them held in where you pushed them off into another big storage place there. They had a trap door there, see? Well, then they had a big box where they'd put together, see? And they had this mat, big mat like Brand Sacks or something like that, only goody or bigger, big mat. They'd cover that over the first there, and then put their sides up, and two men would get in that big box, and they'd have a chute there where they keep putting the hops down, and you'd get in there and tread with your feet, with them back and forth in there, treading them hops down, till you got a lot of them in, so you'd be pretty near up out of the box before they'd get out. Then they'd get out, and they had some big things here they'd put up and fasten. Then they had levers, and they'd pull that down and they'd press it, see? Press the hops right there. Then they had pins. They'd take them sides down, had pins, they'd pin that in, and then they would sew that all up with big long needles with hop twine all the way around that bale. When you get that done, pair of scales there, weigh it, 135. Take that and put it over against the wall, and then do the same thing right over again, put the box up and start shredding. You'd hardly have two bales of light. The next one might be 220 or something like that, you know. Yeah. It's quite a knack to it.
So the bales had a frame around them when they were being built.
Yeah. Where you'd get in tread, they couldn't get out. They had to stay there. Then you had these levers or notches with a board to pull them down, see, with that mat. Yeah, it was pretty good. Oh, my God. All the way through to Malone, they had them like that. Down to
Earl Lookers,
and down to Childs's. Childs's had worlds of hops in there.
Why did you keep them up?
Well, I kept them up for a long time, hon, and then that mold come, and it got so thick that they couldn't get none to keep it away, I guess. Keep it off. Delbert Earl over here. I worked for Delbert when I got my arm broke, and I come back. I didn't get enough to keep it going, so I worked for Delbert over there in his hops. Now, goddamn mold would come overnight in them hops. And boy, you got to get right after it. Delbert was out there pretty near before daylight there, spraying them with that stuff, that sulfur and stuff, you know, to kind of keep it off. The other dope, too, that went in with it.
Did your father have anything he could spray on his hops to keep it free from mold?
Yeah, we had. I'm glad you asked me that. Those days, we had what we call a stone boat. We made a stone boat.
Stone boat wagon?
No, just a common stone boat, I think we had.
What was that like?
Well, it was made out of butts of trees or something and kind of turned up, you know, and plank put across and made pretty solid. Then we had a big wooden barrel, and a pump on it. And they had water in that barrel. And they had a big rubber hose. And that horse would draw that barrel and stumble through them rows. And one of them pumping and the other with that hose going up through them hops all the way up to kill them lice and that mold, see? Go every other row, you'd go with that rig, see? You could take these two rows as you go along with that. And we had barrels out soaking overnight of that stuff. They come with some kind of well, I don't know what they did call them. I think we called them a different name, maybe. But them squashy chips or something. They were a white chip, all chips. They're kind of thin, and there was regular little blocks. And then they had some kind of soap there, that regular tar soap there. They'd let that soap there, and then they'd mix that up and pour it into that barrel, which you'd spray on, see? Got a goddamn lot of work to it, boy. Too much work. I got out of that. I never done none of that. I kept away from that.
So they use tar soap to spray the hops?
With it mixed in with them chips, see?
The chips bought in the store?
Well, they come from somewhere. Yeah, you couldn't make them. They come from somewhere where they made them. Yeah. Yeah.
The stone boat was a lot of stumps tied together?
Well, nailed together with plank, to hold a barrel on. Huh. Horse rod that. Yeah.
One horse.
Yeah, couldn't use two horses. No. Your Evervine, you'd knock off one of them poles. I've done it myself. And boy, I'd catch hell from that. You take a vine there as big as your thumb going up that pole. Well, that goddamn vine maybe is worth maybe $10, maybe more. That one vine going up there, and there's two. You're a whipper, you catch that vine, break that vine off, it's dead all the way up through, and another one won't come quick enough to give you hops. So there was a lot of trouble. Jeez, I ain't broke too many, but I used to break some of them. Yeah, the one you break of them, you've maybe gone $10. Huh. And if your whippletry stuck out, I was sure I wouldn't have too long a whippletry when I was calibrating. I'd have it just so it wouldn't rub my horse's legs, and short as I could get so I wouldn't be hitting the poles, see?
How much was a bale of hops worth? How much did they pay a pound?
Oh, that's a hard guess there, old boy.
Sometimes they weren't worth their salt.
Oh, sometimes they weren't, and other times they're pretty good. I'd have hard work to guess on that, old boy. They used to come up, them buyers, Will King, old Bill King there, used to be a buyer. Dick Slaughter used to be another buyer. They'd come up with a thing they'd stick right in there with two tongs and pull out a square, see? Cut your bale on it a little, stick it right in there and take out a square of that. And then they'd send that off. That all went into beer or something, see? And I don't know what that would, how that would figure up a pound in a bale. No, I couldn't say. I never got any schooling anyway, my eyes was always bad, and then when I got big and so on, I was ashamed to go to school. I wouldn't go then, I stayed at home. Yeah.
How many bales would your father sell in the fall?
Oh my God, we used to have a lot of them, yeah. That old kill used to be loaded. We'd take and load them onto we called a hay rack, you draw hay in with, pile them up on that, and maybe somebody else there you'd hire, and they'd take and draw them down to Malone or somewhere, and then they'd ship them off on the train or something. Yeah. Huh. They used to sell quite a lot of them.
Were you the biggest hop grower around?
We was about as good there for quite a while till I think maybe Childs is might have beat us out in the end. But at first I guess Pa was. Yeah. He had Westcott beat, and he had Joe Walker. Joe Walker used to from Els Henry's hops too. Joe Walker had hops. I think he brought them down to our kill too and had them dried there one time. I know Westcott did. Before he got his kill up. Yeah, and I think Joe Walker did too.
There were the Skinner hop yards too, where the golf course is.
Yeah, that's right. That used to be Skinner's. Skinner's hop yard. Yeah. Skinner's, Childs's.
Were the Skinners as big growers as you, or were they bigger?
Well, they had some good flats in there, yeah. I guess they were about the same. They weren't much different.
What kind of land did you want to grow hops on?
Well, it had to be pretty good. It had to be pretty good land, pretty good soil. But all the time, you see, you were doctoring it, putting stuff on.
Mm-hmm. What kind of fertilizer did you put on before you planted the roots?
Oh, I know what you mean now. Well, you'd maybe, you know, if you had enough stuff like kelp manure and stuff to spread around before, you know, and then you might have had that into a note field or something before you ever set out that hop yard, a note field. And if you figured on putting it into hops, you wouldn't cut it down too low, too, you know, too tight. You'd leave enough there to turn in 100 to richen your ground up, same as we do our garden out here. Bill has cut that garden twice or three times now and turned it right into 100 to richen your ground up. Yeah. Yeah.
The poles were left out in the winter, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. All stacked. Yeah.
They were taken out of where they were and stacked together.
Yeah, put them in a stack. When they'd pick them on the hops off in the box, they'd just throw them down behind them out of the way, see? And then men would come around, boys would come around, and if they didn't take the vines, if they took the vines off, they got more money, see? But if they didn't take the vines off, we'd have to strip them, we called it. Take the vines off, and then carry them over and stack them, see? Make a crotch. Tie two of them together, or four of them together there, make a crotch, and stack them for the winter, see? Couldn't even lay on the ground.
The vines?
No, the poles, because they'd rot out, see?
What'd the vines do? What was the vines,
we'd take them out and burn them. They're dry enough so you could burn them. Yeah, burn all the vines. Get rid of all the lice and mold you could, see? Yeah.
How long an operation was hop picking? How long would it take to pick all the hops in the field?
Yeah, it takes quite a while, didn't it, Hunt? Oh, God, I don't know. It took a long time. It took over longer than 3 weeks, I think. Run into a friend here maybe a month before you get all, you know, fixed up good. Yeah.
Did it leave you much time for your other chores during hop picking?
Well, you know, not too much. But we'd have to get up so much earlier to get it going, see? Get it going. Before the pickers would begin to come in, my oldest brother, he'd always empty the boxes, my oldest brother would. And I've never emptied too many. I'd help, you know, pull poles like whether it be like Stella picking or my mother picking with her there, and some other ones, women, where there wouldn't be no men, see? Well, instead of hiring a man, so if I could, we'd pull their poles, see? Yeah.
Was it mainly men or women who picked hops?
Well, they all did, the whole family. Just same as Gus Raviel up there. He had a family. Oh my God, Gus Raviel had a big family. There was him and he had three girls, and I guess two boys. They all picked and dumped right in the same box. They went along picking a box. Sometimes they'd pick five, six boxes a day. There was a big gang. You see, they don't have time to settle. Boy, you got to pick in them bushel baskets and things and put in that box. That box is filling up. Where one alone or two, well, them goddamn things will settle maybe pretty near as fast as you can get them in there, you know. They keep it going down. But you take a gang picking like that, about five or six around a box, don't take long.
When the men stamped on the pods as they were being made into bales, they broke them all apart, didn't they? You know, they were stamping on the pods.
Yeah, you know, no, they'd kind of squat down pretty good together. Yeah, some of them. Same as you say, some of them would break apart, but some of them would flatten down pretty good. Yeah. Yeah.
What was the reason that hops for in 1 year would be valuable and in another year they wouldn't be worth anything?
Well, you got me there. You got me there without us in the brewing business. Whether they weren't getting so much money out of them making their home brew or beer out of them or not, I don't know. Or without the other fella was jipping you, putting it in his pocket. Yeah, that'd be a pretty hard problem.
You remember Schroeder's Hop Yards in Duane?
No, that's where I come here. Right here, where this house is, was all hops. Right straight through to the top of the hill. All these flats, that flat too. All hops. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all hops.
What year did you start school?
Start school?
Yeah, in Chasm Falls. How old were you?
Oh God, how old were you? I didn't go long. My eyes was bad and I stayed in Royal Victoria Hospital over 100 days.
Huh.
Right in the hospital with my eyes, I was pretty near blind.
Was that an accident or did it just happen?
Well, snow blind. I got snow blind and then the information set in. They didn't have no eye doctors around Malone or Bangor or nowhere. Just quacks. And there was a man went around selling glasses. He stopped the house and when he come in, and Pa told him there about me. He looked at me and he said, "You better take that boy to Montreal." He said, "As soon as you can get him there," he said, "he'd surely be blind." And took me to Montreal and I stayed down there just 100 days before I came out. And then I come home and they got a little better and I didn't get only to second grade. I quit. I was ashamed to go back to school.
Where was the schoolhouse?
Right where it is today. Down there up on top of the hill, some women got made it over into a house in Chasm Falls. Poor George Black is dead. He used to be on the railroad. His father got him to come to school to take me, so I'd go. Made him, George quit school. His father made him come back to go to school to make me come. Huh. Oh boy, what a mix up.
What did your parents think about you quitting school?
Well, they wanted me to go more, but I was ashamed to go. I wouldn't go. But I've made the world. I've made the road. Ain't nothing healed me up so far. I've kept it going. It's been pretty hard sometimes, but I've kept it going. Of course, I couldn't go in and keep time for nobody or nothing like that. I've made a living.
When you were young, did you play outdoors a lot?
Well, not too much. Not too much. No. We always had our work to do. Every one of us. My brothers, too, the same. My job was to get the wood in and see the things around the house there till I got big enough to get to the barn, tend to the horses. Yeah.
What kind of toys did you have?
Oh, my God. We were lucky to have any toys at all. We had a hold of a press wagon. We've done well. Yeah. I think all we ever had was one bicycle. My brother, he got old enough after a while. I guess he got a bicycle. I guess we all rode that bicycle. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any sleds?
Yeah. We used to make our sleds, though. Yeah. Make them out of a board, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we used to. Yeah. Yeah, we made sleds. We've had sleds.
Were they square or were they rounded in front?
Rounded in front.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you have toboggans?
No, never had a toboggan. No.
How about skis?
No, I never had no skis. We've had skippers.
What are skippers?
They're made out of a barrel stave. And they'll run faster than them skiddies. You take a barrel stave and take a post and nail it on up about so high as that's so your feet. And then put another board across here, see, to the set on. And you steer it like that. You start and go up. It'll go like hell on cross. I can make one today yet. I've made the boys some over there. Yeah. Skipper.
It has a seat and a board.
Yeah.
To steer it with.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it'll run to beat hell. I've made them with two, but the most fun is to make them just with one, see? You make them with two, they're more like a sled, two. And put a box on them, but you take one alone. Then you have some fun.
What's a barrel stave?
Well, you take them wooden barrels, see, and they're all put around them, I call them barrel staves. They're a piece of wood with, rimmed out, and they come up and then they put them iron bands over them. I got one right down the foot of the hill here with tar in now. I'm going to knock that to pieces someday before they get in there and save some of them barrel staves. Yeah? Yeah?
What toys did your sisters have?
Oh. I don't know what they would. No, I don't know what they would have. I know they had an organ there one time there, but that's when they got bigger. No, I can't go into women, I don't think.
What did your mother make for breakfast?
Well, those days there we had same about what we had now. We'd have boiled eggs or fried eggs and toast. Maybe some of them would want some potato. Donuts. Make your own donuts them days. You didn't go to the store and buy them. Make your own donuts. Make your cookies. You didn't run to the store every time you wanted anything to eat. You made it.
Did they have meat for breakfast?
Well, no. Well, sometimes maybe some bacon of our own, you know what we'd have. Some bacon sometime. But most likely, most of the time, our boiled eggs was quicker for mother and get us fellas out of the house. Yeah.
Did you eat in the kitchen or in the dining room?
Right in the kitchen. Good big kitchen. Prayers said every morning, too, before you'd eat.
Oh, really?
From Grandpa Earl. Yes, sir.
Did he say grace before every meal?
Every meal.
Uh-huh.
Grandpa was good.
Was he, would he read the Bible a lot?
Yeah. The Bible was set right side of his bed. Right side of his bed.
Huh.
He liked to smoke. That's where I learned smoking. I went over, I think, 9 years old. Don't think so. I went in there. I got a hold of a little pipe. I don't know. I must have got the waistcoats there somewhere. Got a hold of a little pipe, and I went in there, and I'd take some of Grandpa's tobacco and smoke with Grandpa. And he'd tell me this and that, you know, back about how this road was built, and as I told you before about them Indians. He'd go on and he'd tell me all that stuff. Play checkers. I'd play checkers with Grandpa, too. Yeah. Grandpa was a good man.
Can you remember any other stories you tell about the old days?
Oh, my God, no. I used to remember one there, but I kind of forgot it.
What was it about?
Oh, I forgot. Now, it can't hardly come to me now. But it seems though I've told it once there, but I'd have to think quite a while before it ever come back to me. It was a long one, and it was a good one, too. I think I told it to Dougie's kids there one time when they come up here, a year or two ago. Yeah, he'd go ahead and he'd tell you them, you know, it interested, you know. I'd listen there, and by and by, Mother would say, Floyd, time to go to bed. I can always remember that.
What did she serve at noon?
Oh, sometimes she might have, you know, a good boiled dish there, maybe, you know, potatoes, good milk gravy, or water gravy, or...
What's water gravy?
Yeah, water gravy, maybe with ham, or...
How do you make water gravy?
Well, I don't know, it's a familiar grease, that kind of a brown gravy, eh, Sal?
Yeah,
brown gravy. Good.
Just made with water and meat drippings?
Must be, yeah. And she'd always have plenty to eat.
Did you eat more pork or more beef?
Well, I wasn't too good for any of that. I can remember I didn't eat too much of that. I'd rather have a good egg any time, or, you know, a piece of bacon there, or a piece of ham would have smoked. But what we used to eat was that corn mash. We got a lot of that. Will Westcott's that good many of that and feeds two there to our house. Mother'd make up that corn mash, you know, and you'd cook it and have a good and warm, and put milk and sugar on it, and it was damn good. We ate a lot of that. We'd have a feed of that maybe about twice, three times a week. That was good. I told Stella the other day, she said, I think I can make it, Floyd. Well, I said, why don't you make me some?
What?
That corn mash.
I don't know how to
make it. Well, you can.
Is that Johnny cake?
Well, something like Johnny cake, only it's thinner, see? It's thinner. It's regular.
Like oatmeal.
Yeah, now you got it. That smells like oatmeal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Did you ever have it in the morning?
No, we always used to have it down there, I think, for supper. I know Will Westcott been down there at the hop kill over there with Pa. Pa'd always bring him over. He'd say, Will, we're going to have a corn mash for supper. You got to come over. He'd always come over and have a good feed. Remember as long as I live.
Well, I wouldn't want to be brought up on it.
Would you
you'd be good and fat. You wouldn't be skinny.
Would you eat meat with it?
Pardon?
Well, you could. You could.
Did your mother bake bread?
Yeah, they did some days. Yeah. Bake bread.
How much bread would she bake a week?
Oh, God. I don't know. Sir. That's hard to go into.
I'd hate to go back to those days.
Yeah. But them was good days.
Lord, we don't appreciate now what we have.
Did she make rolls?
Yeah. Donuts. Cookies.
What kind of cookies?
Well, white cookies. No black strap molasses. Yeah, Mother's a good cook.
Did she make puddings?
Yeah, rice pudding for dessert. Apple pies, a lot of apple pies. Yeah.
How about berries? Did you have a lot of berries around the place?
No, not too many. We used to have blackberries, quite a lot of blackberries. Up in under the ledge. Used to be some blackberries up there. Mm-hmm. Where I told you where that road went up around up in there where the hops was. Way under a ledge there was a place there where there's some blackberries. Up on the Herb Westcott's there used to be a lot of blackberries up in there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
How would your mother cook a chicken? Would she fry it or boil it?
Well, most likely boil it with dumplings. We'd always have dumplings. Chicken and dumplings. Yeah.
When she made bread, did she fry the extra dough? into little balls, like donuts?
No, I don't remember. I imagine she might. She might. She might.
Did you have roast beef in the oven, cooked in the oven?
Yeah, she had. Yeah. Mother's a good cook.
Did she have a garden?
Well, not too big a one. A little one I told you up on top of the hill there we had.
What'd she grow up there?
Oh, same as usual. Beets and carrots and peas, maybe, and some beans. Small garden.
Onions?
Yeah, maybe some onions. Yeah. We always used to raise our potatoes too, as I told you. We raised potatoes. We raised all, pretty near all our own living.
What was the brand of potatoes?
Oh, Green Meltons or anything, you know, it had a name to it you'd put in. Didn't make no difference. Uh-huh. Any kind of potato we'd eat.
How were the potatoes? You know,
those days, my dad would pay the preacher with a bushel of oats or something like that for his horse. He drove a horse and buggy. You didn't pull out $10 and give him when you see him coming. You'd give him a bag of oats or something, and if you had any money, you'd keep it. That's what Dad always paid the minister. Give him a bag of oats or something for his horses. Had good ministers, too. Good ministers.
Were they paid mainly in food or mainly in money by the church?
Well, they had to get money, some money.
They have a nice minister now.
Yeah. Well, we had some good ones. You had a good minister there where you worked there for a while up there.
Reverend Jay.
Yeah, he was a good minister. And that old minister what married us was a nice minister. What is his name on?
Well, you tell it.
See, she's forgotten. I forgot it too. What married us. We should have remembered his name.
Did you have strawberry shortcake?
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. With cream on, too. Good cream. Right out from our own cows. Before there was a butter factory, you know, they used to make their own butter to home. We had a milk house up there where I told you from that spring down, we had a milk house there. And troughs in there, and we'd put our cans of milk in there, see? Then the morning you'd take and skim that cream off. After you got enough, you'd make your own butter and them churns. First one we had, we'd roll it back and forth this way. Then we got one you'd turn. Huh. Yeah?
Ever have the old-fashioned churn that sits flat on the floor and the...
I know what you mean. No, I don't think I had one of them. I see one of them, though.
Who had it?
I got you got me, but I see one somewhere.
My mother always had one.
One of them went in a jar with a panel on. Yeah? Well, we had the round churn after a while there, what you turn.
How did that churn the butter? Just by swirling the cream?
Yeah. And it turned it and it flopped it enough to make it come into the butter. Then we had that other thing there, but you'd put your butter in and roll it, see? Made in a V shape. Come up and set up on legs. Put your butter in there, take this and roll it back and forth, and it got hardened up.
How many legs did it sit on?
Oh, about three. Oh. One good wider in front and two in the back, made in a V shape. Board about that high on both sides.
These are all made out of wood?
Yeah, all wood, even wooden handle.
How long would it take to make a churn full of butter?
Wouldn't take too long. Could we have quite a lot of cream there, mother would scrape off from the top of the cans, and then she had some other pans set around on shelves, she'd skim it off from them. Not too many.
What'd you do with the milk that was left over?
Pigs. Pigs would get that, boy. If for that old butter factory got to go in there. Yeah, pigs would get that. And once in a while, give them a panful for the hens, you know. Take a panful out. Mm-hmm. They liked it. We got a little sour there. They'd go towards me to hell.
Did you make cheese?
No, no. Well, maybe Dutch cheese, you know. Sour cheese, yeah.
What's
maybe.
Dutch cheese?
Well, Dutch cheese you can buy at stores today there.
Cottage cheese?
Yeah, we just call it Dutch cheese, see? Yeah. Maybe your mother might make some of that off and on. I doubt it. Might not. Yeah.
How was that made?
You have sour milk. Yeah, I'd let your milk sour. Then season it up. Stir it to come into the cheese, I guess, see? Yeah.
Where was the butter factory?
Down this side of Westcott, right next to the minister's house there. Right in there.
Who owned it?
Irvin Kellum. Some of his girls are alive yet, I think. Irvin's dead, I guess his wife is dead, but I think he's got some children. I think he's got some girl left. Yeah.
How did they make butter in there?
Oh, I don't know how they did do it there. They had some kind of power there. They run that thing. No.
It wasn't water power, was it?
No, no. They couldn't get no water in there. I don't know. They must have had some kind of a motor or something to run that. They must have. Yeah. There was another fellow in with Irvin there. I can't never think of his name. There was another man there with Irvin, stayed with Irvin and helped Irvin out. I can never could call him by name. Something like Bashaw, but that around there. But it's kind of an odd name, see? Yeah?
What was in this butter factory? What was inside?
Oh, machinery and them places where you put your milk, tanks and stuff, see? Big tanks.
Was it wooden on the outside?
Oh, yeah.
Did they make cheese there?
No, I don't think it. Just butter, I think. I don't believe they ever made any cheese. They might, but I don't think so. No.
Where was the grist mill?
Well, the grist mill, the last one I can remember, was down this side of Shepherd Bridge down there.
The old shark track.
Well, that was into a grist mill once, hon.